Rich, call my friends. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. If you're just joining us, please tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Bill Winch, Rochester, New York.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Welcome to the
good
call.
Good morning, Paul.
Got 7 Miami. Good morning.
Good morning from Miami. Welcome to the call.
Good morning,
Dan
Paul.
Danny,
Florida.
Florida.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Hey, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Mark
Patrice, St. Augustine, Florida.
Hello, Mark. Hey, Patrice, welcome.
Dina, Baltimore, Maryland.
Is anyone fired up on this Fired Up Friday?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm fired up.
All right, I love it. I love it. Starting to get a little bit more excitement and participation on the line, getting a little bit more energy to start the day off. Thank you for that, my friends. It is Fired Up Friday. Fired Up Fantastic Friday, January 25th, 2013. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. This is the Think and Grow Rich call, and today I'm excited to think and grow rich with each of you. We've got some really good content to go through today. I'm excited to grow with you. I'm excited to expand my mind. I'm excited to get my mind power and my soul power vibrating on a higher plane, as we know that that's what happens. That's one of the things that happens when we get on a conference call and we associate with others of like mind. This is one of those forms of mind, of mental stimulation, where we can get our minds vibrating on a higher level, where we can lift our mind up above the clouds, like Dr. Hill was talking about in the content we went through yesterday, where geniuses can actually lift their thought to a higher plane, where they can get above the noise, where they can get above the smog, where they can think clearly and see further on into the future and formulate and crystallize that vision. This is one of the ways we can do that. We can stimulate the mind. So thank you for being here. If you're new, we love you. We welcome you into our community. This is a call we do every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Have done now for over 2 years and will continue to do into the far distant future, because this is a call that has impacted my life in a major way and has impacted the lives of actually many, many people. It continues to blow me away, the testimonials that I see come from this call and the content. And it all comes from the purpose. You know, we're very clear on the purpose of this call. We're very clear on the intention. And that is to come together on a daily basis to help each other formulate the mindset of an entrepreneur, and also help our teams develop the mindset of an entrepreneur. And we use this call as leverage. You know, we plug our teams into this so that we can all help each other develop that mindset, and it's leverage, right? I mean, we've got close to, I think I checked yesterday, we had 177 people on here, and we all come together with this energy and this purpose to develop that mindset in each other, and it's just a great tool. So thank you for being here. Wanted to share one thought with you before. Well, actually, I'll share a couple of thoughts. First thought, kind of unrelated to the chapter. Second thought, more related. The first thought I wanted to share with everyone is a nugget of wisdom that I picked up last weekend when I was down at a mastermind with leaders down in Austin, Texas, with just amazing leaders in our home business profession. And I want to share this with everyone because I think it's very, very useful in building a home-based business. One of the things that we always need to be asking ourselves is, how do we make ourselves more attractive, you know, to our prospects? How do we make ourselves more attractive to our teams? Because we want to be attractive. We want people to want to do business with us, right? Well, I picked up a tip that I want to share with everyone that will help in that. And this tip is, I learned that you never, ever want to share with people in group settings or in public places. I guess there's exceptions to everything, but as a general rule, you don't want to share your struggles with people in group settings. You want to share your struggles, you want to share your trials with your team and with your prospects after you have come out of the struggle. And I'll give you a couple examples of how I have done this in my business. You know, many of you know when I got started in the home business profession, I was actually living in a single wide trailer house with a wife, and eventually we had four kids living in this 14x70 single wide trailer house. And that is where I started having my major breakthrough. I started sponsoring lots of team members. I started to grow a large team. I developed my leadership via the phone and webinar, and that was all done in a single wide trailer house. I didn't tell anybody that I was living in a single-wide trailer house at that time. Not that there's anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with living in a single-wide trailer house. But imagine if I would have, talking to my prospects and getting on conference calls, and people are like, hey, Paul, how are things going? And I'm like, well, I got four kids and we're living in this little 14x70 single-wide trailer house. Man, we'd sure like to get a bigger place because it's kind of cramped here. You know, that doesn't really broadcast a message of excitement, of progression, of, life and moving forward, and, hey, I'm somebody that you want to follow, right? So I didn't tell people about that until after I had, kind of gotten out of that situation. And then when I go back and talk about it, because I've conquered that, because I've moved on, it's a really cool story because it gives people hope, and they're like, wow, Paul built a team with his leaders of over 1,000 people while living in a single wide trailer house. Wow, if he can do it there, I can do it in an apartment, or I can do it going through bankruptcy, or but see, the story's much more inspiring sharing it after having gone through it. Another quick example, many of latter part of last year, I was in a little bit of a funk. I had lost a little bit of direction. I had achieved a certain level of financial comfort, and I was, lacking in a little bit of motivation. And I was going through that probably December, November of last year. I didn't tell anyone that. When I got on the conference call in the morning, I did my best to just, be excited and be, exuberant and broadcast this attitude of gratitude and just excitement, even though I was going through a little bit of a place of being stuck in my life. And then coming into the first part of January, when I came across some information that helped me to understand that the reason you get stuck in life is because you have a lack of clarity of purpose, a lack of clarity of intent, and I learned that I needed to formulate a new vision for myself, and then I formulated that new vision, and then I got the fire back, then I got excited, then I got on the call and shared with everyone how I was a little stuck, at the end of last year. So this is a really, really good leadership principle. Do your very, 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 very best to be grateful, to be excited. When you're talking to prospects, gosh, you never, ever want to tell them you're struggling, because you know what? People don't want to follow people who are struggling. They just don't. They want to follow people who are making things happen. And so even though we might be struggling at certain points in our life, like we all do, we don't have to broadcast that, right? We don't have to broadcast that in group settings. Now, maybe you're struggling, talk to a mentor. You need a little bit of help, talk to someone, someone in your up team, someone that you're that can maybe help you a little bit with that. But don't broadcast it on Facebook. Don't, get on a call and share it with everyone. Again, exceptions to every rule, there may be certain times where that might be helpful, but as a general rule, try to keep this in mind because it'll help you tremendously in your home-based business. So that was the first thought I wanted to share with you. Second thought is what we're going to talk about today, and that is we're finishing out the chapter on sex transmutation in the book Think and Grow Rich. And just sort of as an introductory part of the final part of this chapter, I'm reminded that one of the 30 major causes of failure that we learn in this book that we're going to go through here in the next week or so is wrong selection of a mate in marriage. That's one of the 30 major causes of failure. And I'm also reminded that one of the things I learned from Todd Young over in Baltimore when I was working with him quite a bit here last year is when he coached people, he would really invest time helping them understand how to be a good spouse, how to be a good partner, how to treat their spouse the way that they should be treated. And I remember he gave me such a great example. You know, Fridays would come around, he'd be like, "Hey, Paul, what are you doing with your wife tonight?" You know, and I'm like, "Oh, I haven't thought about it." And I said, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Man," he goes, "I got $500 in cash sitting out here. I got a date planned, and when my wife Shannon gets home from work, I'm gonna say, 'Hey, honey, let's go,' and I'm gonna take her shopping, and I'm gonna give her the $500 cash, and then we're gonna go out to dinner." He had this whole thing planned, and when he was working with people, when he was working with his team, he would help them understand. I remember he's telling me he was working with one guy, you know, who's like, "Man, my wife's just not supportive, and she's on my case all the time." And Todd's asking him questions, and he finds out that his wife's out working, you know, providing an income, and this guy's just sitting on his butt all day. He's not doing any laundry, he's not doing any dishes, you know, and he's quote unquote working on his business during the day, and then his wife's out working all day long. She comes home, nothing's done. She's got to, you know, take care of everything. And Todd, you know, reaches through the phone, slaps him upside the head, and says, "Dude, wake up! You know, you gotta figure this stuff out. You gotta serve your spouse. You gotta devote some time in helping this relationship move forward." And I noticed, you know, over this last weekend when I was at this leadership summit, that a lot of time was invested helping people understand that partners need to be on board. You know, couples need to be on board with each other. There needs to be to have a lot of success. There needs to be this support there, okay? So I thought about those things when I was going through this final part of this chapter, because Dr. Napoleon Hill's teaching us, you know, the chapter's on sex transmutation, but in this latter part of the chapter, he goes into a little bit about love and romance and understanding those forces. So I think this can be very beneficial for us in the home-based business profession, and I'm excited about what we're going to learn. And it's important, because even if you're not going through some of this stuff right now, if you plan on building a team and helping a lot of people, you got to understand that this is one of the areas that a lot of people struggle with. So we need to be cognizant of it. So let's jump right into the chapter. Here we go. There is no other road to genius than through voluntary self-effort. A man may attain to great heights of financial or business achievement solely by the driving force of sex energy, but history is filled with evidence that he may, and usually does, carry with him certain traits of character which rob him of the ability to hold or enjoy his fortune. This is worthy of analysis, thought, and meditation, for it states a truth, the knowledge of which may be helpful to women as well as men. Ignorance of this has cost thousands of people their privilege of happiness, even though they possess riches. The emotions of love and sex leave their unmistakable marks upon the features. Moreover, these signs are so visible that all who wish may read them. The man who is driven by the storm of passion based upon sex desires alone plainly advertises that fact to the entire world by the expression of his eyes and the lines of his face. The emotion of love, when mixed with the emotion of sex, softens, modifies, and beautifies the facial expression. No character analyst is needed to tell you this. You may observe it for yourself. The emotion of love brings out and develops the artistic and the aesthetic nature of man. It leaves its impress upon one's very soul, even after the fire has been subdued by time and circumstance. Memories of love never pass. They linger, guide, and influence long after the source of stimulation has faded. There is nothing new in this. Every person who has been moved by genuine love knows that it leaves enduring traces upon the human heart. The effect of love endures because love is spiritual in nature. The man who cannot be stimulated to great heights of achievement by love is hopeless. He is dead, though he may seem to live. Even the memories of love are sufficient to lift one to a higher plane of creative effort. The major force of love may spend itself and pass away, like a fire which has burned itself out, but it leaves behind indelible marks as evidence that it passed that way. Its departure often prepares the human heart for a still greater love. Go back into your yesterdays at times and bathe your mind in the beautiful memories of past love. It will soften the influence of the present worries and annoyances. It will give you a source of escape from the unpleasant realities of life. And maybe, who knows, your mind will yield to you during this temporary retreat into the world of fantasy, ideas or plans which may change the entire financial or spiritual status of your life. If you believe yourself unfortunate because you have loved and lost, perish the thought. One who has truly loved can never lose entirely. Love is whimsical and temperamental. Its nature is ephemeral and transitory. It comes when it pleases and goes away without warning. Accept and enjoy it while it remains, but spend no time worrying about its departure. Worry will never bring it back. Dismiss also the thought that love never comes but once. Love may come and go, times without number, but there are no two love experiences which affect one in just the same way. There may be, and there usually is, one love experience which leaves a deeper imprint on the heart than all the others. But all love experiences are beneficial, except to the person who becomes resentful and cynical when love makes its departure. There should be no disappointment over love, and there would be none if people understood the difference between the emotions of love and sex. The major difference is that love is spiritual, while sex is biological. No experience which touches the human heart with a spiritual force can possibly be harmful except through ignorance or jealousy. Love is, without question, life's greatest experience. It brings one into communication with infinite intelligence. When mixed with the emotions of romance and sex, it may lead one far up the ladder of creative effort. The emotions of love, sex, and romance are sides of the eternal triangle of achievement, building, genius. Nature creates genii through no other force. Love is an emotion with many sides, shades, and colors. The love which one feels for parents or children is quite different from that which one feels for one's sweetheart. The one is mixed with the emotion of sex, while the other is not. The love which one feels in true friendship is not the same as that felt for one's sweetheart, parents, or children, but it too is a form of love. Then there is the motion of love for things inanimate, such as the love of nature's handiwork. But the most intense and burning of all these various kinds of love is that experienced in the blending of the emotions of love and sex. Marriage is not blessed with the eternal affinity of love, properly balanced and proportioned with sex, cannot be happy ones and seldom endure. Love alone will not bring happiness in marriage, nor will sex alone. When these two beautiful emotions are blended, marriage may bring about a state of mind closest to that spiritual that one may ever know on this earthly plane. When the emotion of romance is added to those of love and sex, the obstructions between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence are removed. Then a genius has been born. What a different story is this than those usually associated with the emotion of sex. Here is an interpretation of the emotion which lifts it out of the commonplace and makes of it potter's clay in the hands of God, from which he fashions all that is beautiful and inspiring. It is an interpretation which would, when properly understood, bring harmony out of chaos, which exists in too many marriages. The disharmonies often expressed in the form of nagging may usually be traced to a lack of knowledge on the subject of sex. Where love, romance, and the proper understanding of the emotion and function of sex abide, there is no disharmony between married people. Fortunate is the husband whose wife understands the true relationship between the emotions of love, sex, and romance. When motivated by this holy triumvirate, no form of labor is burdensome, because even the most lowly form of effort takes on the nature of a labor of love. It is a very old saying that a man's wife may either make him or break him, but the reason is not always understood. The making and breaking is the result of the wife's understanding or lack of understanding of the emotions of love, sex, and romance. Despite the fact that men are polygamous by the very nature of their biological inheritance, it is true that no woman has as great an influence on a man as his wife, unless he is married to a woman totally unsuited to his nature. If a woman permits her husband to lose interest in her and become more interested in other women, it is usually because of her ignorance or indifference toward the subjects of sex, love, and romance. This statement presupposes, of course, that genuine love once existed between a man and his wife. The facts are equally applicable to a man who permits his wife's interest in him to die. Married people often bicker over a multitude of trivialities. If these are analyzed accurately, the real cause of the trouble will often be found to be indifference or ignorance on these subjects. Man's greatest motivating force is his desire to please woman. The hunter who excelled during prehistoric days before the dawn of civilization did so because of his desire to appear great in the eyes of woman. Man's nature has not changed in this respect. The hunter of today who brings home no skins of wild animals, but he indicates his desire for her favor by supplying fine clothes, motor cars, and wealth. Man has the same desire to please woman that he had before the dawn of civilization. The only thing that has changed is his method of pleasing. Men who accumulate large fortunes and attain to great heights of power and fame do so mainly to satisfy their desire to please women. Take women out of their lives and great wealth would be useless to most men. It is this inherent desire of man to please woman which gives woman the power to make or break a man. The woman who understands man's nature and tactfully caters to it need have no fear of competition from other women. Men may be giants with indomitable willpower when dealing with other men, but they are easily managed by the women of their choice. Most men will not admit that they are easily influenced by the women they prefer, because it is in the nature of the male to want to be recognized as the stronger of the species. Moreover, the intelligent woman recognizes this manly trait and very wisely makes no issue of it. Some men know that they are being influenced by the women of their choice, their wives, sweethearts, mothers, or sisters, but they tactfully refrain from rebelling against the influence because they are intelligent enough to know that no man is happy or complete without the modifying influence of the right woman. The man who does not recognize this important truth deprives himself of the power which has done more to help men achieve success than all other forces combined. I'm going to read that last line again because that is a staggering thought. The man who does not recognize this important truth deprives himself of the power which has done more to help men achieve success than all other forces combined. So for me, my friends, I'll tell you what, this sheds very new light on a subject that I haven't had this light shined on it for me before. I mean, have you ever looked at your relationship with your significant other as being a critical catalyst in your success? Have you ever looked at, you know, love and romance and sex in your relationship as actually being a foundation to help you move forward in a powerful way in life? And when you do start to look at it this way, you start to realize that investing in, treating your spouse, your significant other, your wife, your husband, treating them in special ways, you know, planning special dates, doing special things, is actually an investment in your success. Isn't that amazing to think about? So interesting stuff. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. Anxious to hear your thoughts. Just one moment, please. Star 6 to come on out.
Bill wins.
Hey, Bill,
Anthony
morning.
From North Carolina.
Let's hear from Bill and then Anthony, please.
Yes, this part of the chapter really hit home. Especially where it says, no man is happy or complete without the modifying influence of the right woman. When I first met my wife, we were both in education, and that's how we met. We got married, had two beautiful daughters, and then I got the bug of wanting to do educational travel and eventually opened up my own business and had that entrepreneurial spirit. Then what happened was I was very successful in the group travel, and what the thing was is they were cruises for graduation seniors, and they passed this law about you couldn't really have people under the age of 18 without their parents on the cruise. It was really, it killed my business. So as a result, I went to network marketing because I was an entrepreneur. However, my wife wanted me to get a full-time job going back into, where I'd work from 8 to 5. I did not want to because I had that spirit to be an entrepreneur, and I could not handle that. And so I did get involved in network marketing. I was doing well, and I had earned a she hated this. Get out of it. No. I even earned a party, my upline, through this really elegant catered party, tails, the whole thing. And I said, come on and go with me. She would never go to a meeting with me. She just totally disagreed with it. And I loved what I was doing. And so we went to the party. An hour into the party, she started to throw this tantrum. Get me out of here. I got to go home. The customers would come to the house, and she would say, you don't want these products. Get out of here. Well, it got to the point where, we just were not compatible. I loved her, but she couldn't understand this is what I really wanted to do. And as a result, I just got to the point where I gave a date. I said, look, we cannot work this out. We tried everything. We went through counseling. We did everything that we possibly could. And it just wasn't working. And I wake up in the morning, I was miserable. She would totally tear me down. She thought she was doing what she thought would be right for the family. But I said, look, so I waited until both of my daughters had graduated from high school. They went to college, are both married now. But I finally left the situation because I could not handle it anymore. I loved them all. But I had to do what I felt was right for me because it was tearing me apart. Now I'm very happy. I'm doing what I'm doing. And I've had so many breakthroughs, especially this last weekend, of who I really am and that I really am worth something because I was really pushed to the point where I felt I was worth nothing. And so this weekend just totally changed my life around. I loved what I found out about myself, and I am happy with myself. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome, Bill. Thank you for that experience. Very instructive. Anthony, go ahead, sir.
Paul, I just want to jump in here real quick and just chime in on the basis of what you were talking about men and women coming together and basically the motivating factors behind what we do, it's just funny because it shined a lot of light on some of the subjects that I've actually been studying that our actual psyche is actually set up with archetypes from our species. We have evolved to a certain point, but some of the actual old archetypes, as far as in our psyche, you know, they have not evolved. They're still the same, and it actually shines light on what Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about you know, why people do the things that they do, and basically it sheds a lot of light on that basis that because man still has that same archetype as far as the way that we evolved as a species, that what happened is that if we don't have that motivating factor in our life, we really don't see the need to either work as hard or to do the same things that we should be doing because of those actual archetypes, the way our psyche is actually set up. So it actually, I just wanted to chime in, but it adds a lot of light into why we do the things that we do and the importance of, you know, those actual two forces in our psyche, you know, a feminine force and a masculine force, basically combining those two forces. You know, I just want to also add that, you know, before we had chemistry, we had alchemy, and the basis of alchemy was to add two chemical compounds to actually receive a third force that would make it, you know, stronger. And then we, you know, we're talking about relationships and basically the harmony in relationships, and basically it just adds a lot of light. I have a lot more to say, but I'll be sitting here talking forever, so I just wanted to chime that in and, you know, throw that out there. So back to you, Paul.
Awesome stuff, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Morning,
really,
Paul.
Appreciate that. Hey, good morning. Is that Melvin?
Yes, it's Melvin here. Listen, the first speaker there, I didn't get the name, but I love the story that he told, and it's so real, and it's so real for so many of us. And I would probably say about half the situations or the cases here are as such. And I just wanted to say that until you get on your side, not your partner's side, but on your side, until you get on your side, partner with you, it's only then that you can then start to partner with your partner. You got to get the job done on yourself first. First and foremost, you've got to have the right attitude. You've got to have the right mindset. You've got to have the right work ethic. You've got to have the right commitment. And you've got to stay positive. You've got to, in spite of all of that, and there's many of you that sit there and think, yeah, but you don't know my wife. You don't know the nagging I go through. You don't know what I have to put up with. Yes, I do know. In fact, many of us here know this. And just the opposite can be true as far as the wife and the husband's concerned. You're being tested quite often. You're being tested to it that you truly do have this commitment, that you truly do have the desire to follow through and stay with that and do what you say you're going to do. And many times it's that mate that will test you and see if you've got what it takes to make it happen. And when it comes to man and woman, man is much more of overall adventurous and risky and trying things. And women are very much into security and being safe. And those two things don't necessarily go together, and understandably so. So you definitely do have to be strong within yourself. And then you'll find that the other one will come up. A lot of times you hear someone saying to you, you're stupid, you're dumb, you this is not going to work, you can't make it. And after you stay with it and make it start happening, that same person is, hey, I knew you could make it. You know, I've always believed in you. And you're wondering, is this the same person? So it is true.
Talking about me.
I'm quiet. You do have to really believe in yourself and stay with it. Back to you, Paul.
Great stuff, Melvin. Thank you. And I heard Stevie
Paul
there in the background, made me chuckle.
Morning,
yeah,
Paul.
Who's that? Is that Lindy?
Yes. And Melvin,
hey, Lindy,
us women are out there, and we're adventurous, and we take risks, and we work hard just as well as you men do. There's many, many, many of us that do that. And but you're absolutely right. Harmony in a relationship and wanting what's best for the other person and, you know, backing them when they want to try something new. I mean, that's what life is about. It's not about going to the 9-to-5 and you know, not really liking what you're doing and you know, just getting stuck in a rut. So anyway, I just had to pipe in about that because us women, we are entrepreneurs too.
How you doing, Paul? Hey, Lindy, I agree. Thank you for sharing that. Good
morning, Paul.
Super Stan? Who
Paul?
Was the first guy that came out there? Yeah, go ahead. Who's that?
This is Rich in San Diego, Paul.
Hey, Rich. Good morning. Good to hear you today.
Hey, I only am going to confess what I'm about to say because maybe it will help somebody else. And I know that we're not ever supposed to look back in the rearview mirror and think about the regrets that we've had in our life. But when I was right at 30 years old, I was married to my college sweetheart. And maybe a year later, anyway, I had three daughters, 2, 3, and 5. And I was building restaurants. I was very successful at that time, and I was also reading Think and Grow Rich. And so I was on purpose for everything that I was doing. I got up just like a young Paul Hutchins, and so I had great backers, and everything was just really good. And my wife kept saying, you know, Rich, you've got to spend more time with the kids. Well, honey, I'm doing this for us, you know, so that we can have a secure future and we don't have to worry about anything. I can send the girls through college. We had our house, first house, and everything was just really good, I thought. And one day I came home. I mean, you know, the restaurant business is really tough because I had liquor bars in every one of them, and they were big, nice, flourishing restaurants. Where mainly I had the young crowd coming, the young college and the young marrieds, and business was really great. And I came home late, and she didn't know what I was doing. I mean, she didn't know if I was, you know, becoming an alcoholic or going out with women or you know, but it was all late hours, but I loved what I was doing. I mean, I had a passion for what I was doing. And I came home, and she kept saying, Rich, you got to spend more time with the girls. You know, I know, honey. You know, but I didn't. I listened to Rich. I didn't listen to my wife. And so as it turned out, sort of the timeline is a little fuzzy for me because I wanted to blanket out in my life. But I came home to a wonderful home, all cleaned up, everything, and it was empty. There was nobody there, and I lost my family at a young age, and so I just want to say this. If there's anybody out there that is putting their career, their financing, their finances ahead of their family, just take a look back and change that and put your family first, your God first, and then your finances, and everything will just like Melvin said, everything will be in place, and you will go on and be super successful. But it took a little bit to say this, but you know, to the Think and Grow Rich group. But I get so much out of this call and these people. I feel like they're everybody's on my friends, and you're just such a great leader, Paul. I just I had to come out and say that. So I appreciate you, Paul, and I appreciate the Think and Grow Rich call. Back to you, Paul.
Hey, Rich, I'll tell you what, man. I really appreciate that. I took some courage to share that experience, but I promise you it helped me, and I know that it helped a lot of people on the call. So thank you for that, Rich. Appreciate
hey,
you
Paul.
And admire you. Yeah, Star 6 is next.
Hey, Paul, this
hey, Paul.
Is Stephen Clark.
Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. You know, I think, you know, just to kind of sum up what everybody's been saying and, you know, what Dr. Napoleon Hill was talking about is there needs to be this balance in your life, the balance between your work, your career, whatever you're doing in your life and your family. You know, Rich, your story is definitely something that, you know, I take to heart. I can't say I've gone through it, and I pray I never have to. But it's definitely an eye-opener for me at such a young age, and I do appreciate that. But to kind of give you guys a little background of me and my beautiful girlfriend. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, your spouse or your wife. But to the younger generation, such as myself, you know, me and my girlfriend, we've only been together 6 months, but it's been an amazing 6 months. You know, this past Sunday, actually, we celebrated our six-month anniversary together, and the night before that, because we had a big day planned, so Saturday night, she came home from work, all the lights were off, I had cooked her this beautiful dinner, and we had dinner by candlelight. That was it. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, well, to celebrate that time or an anniversary in general, you need to go out and spend a lot of money and, you know, take their spouse out to this beautiful restaurant. And I think it's more the idea of spending time with that individual and going out of your way to make that time the best time you could possibly make. And long story short, she had never, in her past relationships, had somebody cook dinner for, let alone do dishes, let alone clean the house, and actually make money, first of all, and then to come home to a candlelight dinner. She was in her past relationship for 5.5 years, and that individual never treated her that way. So, you know, that just kind of sums up to what Paul was saying before we got into the content this morning, is to go out of your way and make that person realize, look, I love you, I support you, regardless of what you decide to do, regardless of whether I agree with it or not, I support your decision. And I think that is the most important thing in a relationship, is being supportive of what that other individual decides to do, regardless of whether you agree with it or not. So, Rich, again, I apologize that you had to go through that. You know, that experience, and to those who have also gone through that experience on this call, you know, and I pray it doesn't happen to you guys again, and I pray it doesn't happen to people anytime. But with that being said, Paul, I'm going to just sum it up because I have a lot to say, but back to you. Thanks for letting me speak.
Hey, Stephen, appreciate those thoughts, and kudos to you on treating your special lady the way that she needs to be treated, which is special. Star 6 is Nick.
Action Jackson.
Hey, I think Action Jackson was first out there. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Great morning to the family. I want to say it's been a great week listening in to the calls. I think about my wife and myself at home. And I'm a computer, internet marketer, and I'm at home all day, you know, going through the process of doing my business. And so one word that we say at home is engage. I'm physically there, you know, but my, like the song say, I think that might have been the OJs or somebody, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town or on the other side of the world doing, you know, posting ads or whatever I'm doing. So the word we have in our home is being engaged. You know, when I'm there, you know, physically, okay, maybe, you know, once I take a break or, you know, spend time with her and my kids, you know, be engaged, be mindful and be considerate, being engaged. Secondly, I want to go back to kind of what we talked about, the sexual transmutation. And I think about it from the sporting world, and we'll see it in full flesh next week, you know, what next weekend with the Super Bowl is with the, there's a reason now, I see now, there's a reason why coaches instill that curfew. Because, you know, you go through a week of building up that energy, practicing, and building up all this anticipation and that natural raw energy that you're building up. And for, you know, young men, you know, they're, of course, you know, there's nothing more, you know, nicer to see than the female that's walking through the lobby in the hotel and all of everybody, you know, family and friends, everybody's in, and you're waiting for this big game, and that's why you say don't, you know, there's a curfew, you know, tonight, we're not, you know, having any hanky-panky. We need all this raw energy to come out for this big game because we got to play our best. And it never fails. There's always one or two that slips past curfew and do something crazy, and they playing with what we call dead legs. They just don't have it. They're not mentally in tune. You can look in their eyes and tell you're just not here today. And I try to apply that same energy, that same mindset when it comes to my business and when I'm working on some you know, big things that I'm doing, projects, and trying to build up, bound that energy and not release that out. You know, sometimes I tell my wife, hey, I'm going to a conference. I need to be in the zone. When I get back, hey, we're going to have a great time. But I just think about that sexual transmutation and use that analogy as a big part of that. But I just want to say have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. Back to you, Paul. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, Austin Jackson, I'm so glad you came out. Great stuff. I wanted to just clarify, because I read on the internet, I was looking this up, and I read that in the NFL, they actually prevent the players, or they do the best they can to prevent the players from engaging in any type of sexual activity before a game. That's pretty much what you just said, right? Would you say that's a true statement?
Yeah, that's a true statement, but again, you know, like one of my uncles used to always say, you're talking about you got a bunch of hungry dogs in the meat house. It's hard to stop them young guys. They have coaches in the lobby. They have coaches everywhere doing bed checks and all that. But somewhere along the line, you know, some guys still know how to kind of tweak it and get out at certain times. Or, you know, and you hope that nothing happens. But, you know, every so often something happens. But, yeah, you're exactly right.
Wow, and I also really appreciate your comments on being engaged at home, because I have the same issue. Sometimes, you know, my wife will be talking to me, and she'll tell me something two or three times, and my head is, I don't know where my head's at. It's not there, and I need to fix that. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, this is Karen.
How are you doing?
Stevie. Good morning.
Hey, I think Stevie. Go ahead, Stevie.
Yes, Stevie. Good morning, Mastermind team. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
All right, super, super. This has been one super duper week. I have truly, thank you so much once again. I wanted to just briefly, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to share something with our team. This is a letter that was written like over 700 years ago. And just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying earlier, these things are natural forces of the universe, man and women. This is so natural. And just to set this up just a teeny bit, these two brothers were, this was way back 700 years ago.
In
hello?
Hey.
Japan.
Stevie, Star 6, and come back out if you would, please. Stevie, you there? Stevie, if you'd hit Star 6 and come back out, I had to clear the lines. Apologize for that.
Okay.
There you go. Stevie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
There you are.
Paul?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, great. So anyway, these two brothers were some negative stuff had happened to them, and one was older, one was younger. And during those times, the oldest brother would be the one that would inherit all this land and all this kind of crazy stuff. So this Buddhist monk was telling them, you know, to be careful, don't worry about all this other stuff. He said, but what is most important? He told him. He said that, and I wanted to read this to you guys. He said, and your wives are your support. He's telling them how to get through this. He said, your wives are your support. He said, women support others and thereby cause others to support them. When a husband is happy, he said, when a husband is happy, his wife will be fulfilled. If a husband is a thief, his wife will become one too. This is not a matter of life alone. A man and wife are as close as body and shadow, flowers and fruit, or roots and leaves in every existence of life. He says, insects eat the trees they live in, and fish drink the water in which they swim. If grass withers, orchids grieve. If pine trees flourish, oaks rejoice. Even trees and grass are so closely related. So then he just goes on, and then I say this one little part. He says, the hiyoku is a bird with one body and two heads. Both of its mouths nourish the same body. The hiboku are fish with only one eye each. As the male and female remain together for life, a husband and wife should be like them. Thank you. Everyone have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you, Stevie. Yeah, who's next?
Hey, Paul, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, good morning, man.
How you doing? Let me come on speakerphone with just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a great call this morning. A woman is really, if you think about it, the most powerful person in a relationship, and not only that, the most powerful person in the world. Because a woman in a harmonious relationship, a relationship that is going the way that it's supposed to go, like my father told me, it's kind of funny, and I won't say exactly what he said, but it is so true. In a harmonious relationship, a woman will control 50% of the money and 100% of the you-know-what. Now, I'll let you fill in the blank, but it's two things that make the world go around. And with that, I want to tell you a story. That's one of the most powerful stories that I read out of a book by the late, great Ron Brown, who was the first black Secretary of State in the Clinton administration. They were leaving a banquet, he and his wife, one night. They were leaving a banquet, and they were walking downtown in a city, and they were going to their car. It was pitch black dark. And as they were approaching their car, a homeless man who smelled the most awful funk in the world, I mean, he had the most foul odor, he called out Ron Brown's wife's name. And Ron Brown, all of a sudden, his wife leaves her side, and his wife approaches this homeless man who smells so awful. And she reaches in her pocket. She gives him some money, and she carries on this conversation with him for about 5 to 10 minutes. After the conversation, she walks back up to Ron Brown, and Ron Brown said, "Who in the hell was that?" She said, "When I was in high school, I used to date him." He said, "You used to date him? Are you kidding me?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "I know you're glad you didn't marry him." And without batting an eye, she said, "If I would have married him, he would have become the first black Secretary of State." And that is such a powerful story, not only of a woman, but in a relationship, because what happens many times in our lives when we choose to do things and when we have these certain dreams and these aspirations and we're ambitious and we want to become these entrepreneurs, a lot of times before we get married or before we get a spouse, we don't ask that person one key question. What is it that you want in your life that will make you happy? Because $1 million, $10 million, $100 million may not make that person happy. There are some people that are happy with making $50,000 a year, living in a house with a white picket fence with a station wagon, and that's fine. And a lot of times the reason why we get in relationships and they don't work out is because we're trying to make people that they don't want to be. And that story about Ron Brown is so powerful to me is because when I look at my own life, when I look at my wife, one of the things that was very, very important for me, because I come from a long line of successful entrepreneurs going back to my great-grandfather. One of the things that was very, very important to me as I looked at my parents, and I will say that I did have that image in front of me, was the person that I chose to marry, who I think is the most gorgeous woman in the world, Joanne Thomas, my wife. It was very important for me just to understand and to know what is it that you want in life, because what she wanted in life had to align with what I wanted in life. And the things that we go after and the things that we aspire to, a lot of times, there is no balance in the beginning in order to get that. Okay, if you look at any great individual in life, any great man in history, any great woman in history who had a successful marriage, who has been married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, anybody been married that long and they tell you they didn't have any problems, they're lying. Okay, problems come along with greatness. That's something that we all have to grasp. We all have to understand that. But at the end of the day, we got to ask ourselves, what do we want in our lives? And what is it that you want in your life if I want you to be my spouse? And sometimes those things just don't align with one another. So I just wanted to put that out there this morning. I'm learning so much from the calls. Back to you, Paul.
Chris, man, wow, you are one powerful individual, and I'm so grateful that you come on the call and share that with us. Thank you. Man, I love you. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Karen, this is Lisa.
Let's see, Karen? I heard two ladies. I think what, Karen, was that Karen and then Lisa?
Yes.
Go ahead, Karen.
Awesome. I just have to tell you, I was ready to star 6 on my phone, and the phone dropped, and the battery came out. I'm like, this isn't Jackson, I really want to share this message. So I'm sharing it. You know, obstacles are opportunities in disguise. So, okay, so this is what happened with me. I went through divorce. I had a burning desire. I decided, I'm really cutting it short, but I had this burning desire of the kind of man I wanted to be with. My desire left me in, like, where I was in bed, and I was feeling him behind me. I was doing all of that stuff, and I had my list of everything that I wanted, and it took me 2 times going offline to network for something where I met him. He is the most wonderful thing in the world. I mean, he's perfect. He is more than I could have ever asked for. I mean, he's greater than anything. I also had this desire to, in my heart as a woman, to help someone to do something great in their life. Like, I just wanted to assist them to do something great, which leans on the message that was spoken earlier by, you know, by a woman's really desire. She does want to assist her husband. She really does. But it's like, it has to work out, and you have to have the right mindset to begin with. You've got to know what you want, and you attract that to you. When you're younger, I give a lot of people credit for being so young and maybe even immature and having relationships that work and last. God bless that. For those of us who have had to make a new start, well, you know what? God bless that too, because, again, obstacles are opportunities in disguise to make a better life with now where we are all along on this journey. So I just wanted to share that. I am very, very happy with my situation, and it keeps getting better because I choose it. That's it, Paul.
Karen, you're awesome. Thank you. Lisa, go ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to say 2 things. There's a saying that we often say in the religious community regarding the power of love, and we say that the man may be the head, but the woman is the neck, which turns the head. So that just talks about the power of a woman. And I really, the last gentleman that just spoke, who's a successful entrepreneur, I think he's in real estate, he made me laugh out loud with the power of the woman. What is it, 60% of the income and all of the, you know what? That was simply hilarious. So, but I wanted to just say that mutation that Dr. Napoleon Hill is describing is so true. And as one of the gentlemen who said he had a broken marriage and all of that, that is often something that people neglect. And I just wanted to say, since we're all here and we're doing our major definite purpose, although this is called the Think and Grow Rich family, richness is not just in the sense of money. It's in the sense of,
Hey, Lisa, come back out. Star 6, come back out.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so I was just going to say, one of the things that I say in my major definite purpose is I talk about what I want my family to be and how I am to be a wife to my husband. And me being the entrepreneur, like Lindy said, we're entrepreneurs too. We just have a different function in the way that we provide love to our husband, so that, in my case, my husband goes and he works, but I make him feel comfortable and great about doing that while I'm building my business so that he can come home from work. And that is the way that I think Dr. Napoleon Hill was saying, that women are intelligent enough, the intelligent ones know that it's, you don't have to fight with your husband. He can be in leadership. Or mate, or whoever, a special person, or whoever it is, you don't have to fight with them, but just allow the man to be in his mind the leader. But yet you understand that you're the neck, and you can turn it which way you want when you want it to be that way. And that's that power of sex. And that's my little one, so I'm going to be quiet now. Back to you, Paul.
Beautiful. What a powerful call, folks. I'm so excited that we are attracting such amazing, insightful, experienced, talented people that we can all, you know, learn from. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. You know, I'll close out the call with a thought. And that thought is, I picked this up over the weekend, this last weekend in Austin, from a guy. I mentioned him several times. He's a big money earner. He said this. He said, it is more powerful to be unified than it is to be right. It is more powerful to be unified than it is to be right. And maybe we can meditate upon that line a little bit in relation to the relationships we have with the special people in our lives. And it's my wish that we can invest some time, building that relationship up and doing the very best we can to get unified, because in unification there's power. And I'll tell you one thing I'm doing in my personal marriage with my wife. My wife, she hasn't really been, you know, she's the most wonderful wife, the most amazing mother. She runs our household like nobody could. And I'm usually, you know, over on the business side. Well, I want my wife to be a little bit more involved with the vision and what we're doing here. So I bought her a plane ticket to the next company convention. I bought her a ticket to the convention. And I called her up from the last one. I said, honey, you know, I got you a ticket, let's go. And, you know, she's excited to go. So that's one thing that I'm going to do to try to get myself and my wife more on board. And I encourage everyone on the call, treat those people special. Share with them your vision. Take them to conventions. Try to get unified, because in unification there is power. Remember the story of Gandhi, 200 million people to coalesce on one vision. Unification, my friend. I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you as an entrepreneur. I admire you for what you go through. I encourage you. I applaud you for not giving up. Get out there and make today one of the best days of your life. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love you guys. Bye for now.